Best Hashem is Baruch, we begin Perek HaMisha, the fifth chapter in the Rambam, Masechet Ganeiv, the laws of theft, and the safe and the Zik in the book of damages. In this Perek, we discuss regarding acquiring from a thief, and regarding what's called Takanas HaShok, certain situations where we preempted the liability of someone who bought from a thief. As Rambam gives Allah Alf regarding this prohibition of buying from a thief. Also, Liknas Min HaGanav, it's forbidden to buy from a thief, HaChevetz Shaganav, the object that he stole. Bavon Gadolhu, it's a great sin. First of all, Shari Marzig Yidei Oibravei, because he's now assisting and supporting the actions of those who have this sin of stealing. And second of all, it's also causing him now to steal other times, because Shem Leyim Tzalikech, if he wouldn't find anyone to buy, in the garden, he wouldn't steal. Regarding this, it says, someone who divides with the thief, so in Nafsha hates his own soul, because again, he's considered as a joint partner with the thief. Now, Halacha Beis introduces this concept of Takonas HaShuk. That is, Hagoyne V'machav, someone steals and sells. V'loynis Yerusha Ba'ilim, and the original owners never give up hope yet of getting their object back. V'akach Hukra Ganav, and then the thief was recognized. Now, at the time that the consumer bought from the thief, he didn't know that the seller was a thief. But then witnesses came along and testified, Shezeh HaChevet Shemachad Pliny, that this object that this person sold, who Gunav B'fenein, he stole in front of us. So the stolen object is returned to its original owners. But the owners, they have to give the monetary value that the consumer paid to the thief. The owner, who it's his object, has to pay that money to that consumer. And the reason is because of the institution of the marketplace, which is requires the owner to pay the monies, because if not for then no one would buy anything from anyone in the marketplace as a concern that he might be losing his money because the object he might be buying might be stolen. But then the original owner, the real owner, then has to take to court the thief to pay him back for the monies he paid for his own object that was sold by the ganav to that other person. However, v'mganav mefursim, if he's a well-known thief, then the sages did not make this takana of the shok. And the inner bottom nice in the klum, the owner does not have to give anything to compensate the consumer. Rather, the consumer has to go and litigate against the thief, and then he has to collect the monies from the thief because he should have known he's a well known thief, and for him, you don't have any excuses to say, oh, well, I didn't know. Now, let's say the owner gave up hope from the stolen object. Here it's Benshin Nasirushuva Akkach Machaganav, whether if he gave up hope and then the thief sold it. Bainsan Shirushu Akhashamacha, whether he gave up hope, the original owner, after it was already sold to the buyer. Either way, Khan Alikah, the consumer has acquired this stolen object, Biyeish Bashinushus, with two ideas, whichever one happened first, but the fact that the owner had given up hope and that it changed domain to his property. And therefore, Vainamavsakineva Asmalabalao. The consumer does not have to give back the stolen object itself to the original owner, because he already acquired it. Rather, he has to give the money value back to the original owner, if he bought from a well-publicized thief, because he should have been concerned that it was a stolen object, and therefore he owes the monies to the owner. Or he doesn't even give any monetary value at all. Not the object and not even monetary value. For the takana of the shuk, if it was not a well-known ganav, then he's not at fault at all. And then, just like he gets paid back the money, and he doesn't have to give back the object, so he doesn't have to give the money or the object, and then obviously the owner has to go and litigate against the thief himself. Halacha Dalet. Now, regarding this compensation for the returned stolen object, b'zman shalikeach eisid, we said different times that who has to deal with who. So b'zman shalikeach eisid dinim balabais. So when the consumer has to deal with the original owner of the stolen object, meaning he has to say, okay, look, I'll give you back your object, but I need you to pay me for the stolen object, because he wasn't a well-known thief. So if there's no witnesses to say how much did he pay to the thief for this object, so the merchant himself swears, the one who bought it, but Nikita Chavitz, by holding on to a holy object, how much did he pay and get this object? And he collects that from the owner of the stolen object. Now, any case where a person swears and collects, which generally you swear to defend in biblical law, if you're swearing and you're collecting, like in this case, that's a rabbinic oath, and he has to swear by holding a holy object, like we explained in its place in Hilchos Toyin Menit in Perek Av, Halacha Beis. Now, Halacha Hey. However, in contrast, when the consumer has to litigate against the thief himself, when he was, let's say, a well-known thief, he says, this how much I paid when I bought it from you. You were a thief and you sold me what wasn't yours. The thief says, you're right, it was stolen, but I didn't sell it to you that much. I sold it to you for less than the amount. Again, the merchant himself, the one who bought it, swears by holding a holy object. We know, like, and he collected that amount from the thief. Because the thief, which generally the defendant is the one who swears to defend himself, the thief cannot swear because he suspected that he's going to lie regarding the oath, and therefore the claimant gets to swear and collect the amount that he claims was how much he paid. Let's say someone stole an object. Now, he didn't sell it like we're speaking about the previous halachas. He used that stolen object to pay up a debt. Or gun of a potabek kefo, let's say he stole to pay up a credit that he had built up a debt. Im bezet takanas hashuk. He would not say a takanas hashuk for the one who got that stolen object. We generally say when he buys from someone from the thief, we say takanas hashuk. He would not say takanas hashuk. El ha'avolim noitlim ha'ganeva b'leidam. Rather, the owner of the stolen object could take back the stolen object without paying anything. V'yishor ha'chayv elu, ala gan of kishahaya. And the original debt will remain on the thief, as it originally was, because in this situation, no takanas hashuk, because you can't say, oh, it was in that intention of the stolen object that we lent the money or that we gave him credit. It's not true, because the credit was before he ever gave him the stolen object. Now, mishkin ha-geneva, let's say the thief, the borrower, gave the stolen object as collateral to the lender, and that's how he got the loan, then bein shemishkin ha-meyes al dema, whether the collateral was more than the value, or less than the value, then habalam noisin labalamashkin. So then the owners have to give to the person of the collateral, because that's similar to that of selling. And then they have to litigate with the thief. Again, unless if the thief was well known, like we would explain this in Halacha Beis, then it's different because he should have known. But if he didn't, then giving a loan is similar to that of buying. Well, takan sashuk, how should I know? I'm not going to lend anyone because I don't know what the collateral is his. Halacha zayin. Halakeich meganav she'in meforsim. Someone buys something from a thief that was not well known that he's a thief. So ben shalakach b'men shov b'meyah b'masayim, whether if he purchased from something that's really worth 100 and he paid 200, or he shov b'masayim b'meyah, well, let's say it was really worth 200 and he paid him 100, either way, it is a nizal adam b'alabayis. Whatever the money that he paid, let's say it was really worth 100, he paid 200, he could collect that amount from the homeowner who's getting it back from him, which he has to compensate him. And even though really the object is only worth 100, he says, well, for me it's worth 200, that's how much I paid. And you want your object back, give me the 200. And only the achkav marzak nim, only then will he give back the stolen object, like we explained in Halacha Beis, that he has the right to get compensated for what he paid from a non-well-known thief. Halacha chas. Hayinesha began of meyazuz. Let's say someone was a creditor against a thief for an amount of 100 zuz that he owed him. V'hevil b'alchayvoy, and then v'gan v'hevil b'alchayvoy. So he stole something, and he brings it to his creditor and says, here, this is what he gives him this object. V'nos l'me'achayz, when he gives him that 100, he then gives him a loan of another 100. So in this case, ha'dehaganeva chizeres l'balau. In this case, the stolen object is given back to its original owner without him having to compensate monetarily. And that is, the lender cannot claim, says, wait a second, that I loaned the second 100 only on reliance of the collateral, which we said in Halacha Vav, that then he actually does get compensated. No. In this case, we tell the lender, go now, you yourself, and claim from the thief 200, because here there is no takan sashok. Why? You didn't give the second 100 because he gave you that stolen object of 100. Because kashem shemante b'rishayna, just like you trusted him by the first 100, which that you lent him without collateral, hemante b'chreina, you also believed him by the last 100. And the object that you got because of the debt of the first 100 was a payment. And therefore, it's like someone who steals and pays up his debt, which there is no takan sashok, and it's not like as if it was collateral for the second 100, and therefore he has to give it back without getting compensated and claim his 200 from the thief. Halacha test. Let's say someone purchases from a non-well-known from a person that it's not known to be a thief, and he purchases an object b'meir for 100. Now he's a middleman. You know, he sells it to someone else for 120. Then subsequent to Mokragan, they find out this guy was a thief. So Bala Geneva, so the owner of the stolen object, Nusin Lazaha Achran, he wants his object back. He gives to the last buyer, Meva Esther, the 120 that he paid. That's Takansa Shuk, he gives him what he paid. And he takes the stolen object back. Now, Bakhaizah Bal, now the owner then subsequently goes, but Nutl Esim Shall Sakhim and Amoichim. And he takes the 20 that the seller who bought from the Ganev sold it to the second buyer. That 20 that he made was off the stolen object. He gets his 20 profit, and he takes that too. But then Lamim and the Ganev, he takes the 100 from the thief. So therefore, the original owner, although he had to pay out the 120, he's getting 20 from him, 100 from him, and then he's back to square one where he originally was, back with his object without any loss. Now, Vim Ganev Mefursamu, let's say the guy, the original seller, was a well-known thief. So he takes the 120 from the merchant that purchased from the thief. He collects from him the 120. Now, that means he's out 20 from what he made a profit off the second guy that he sold to. And then he collects his original 100 that he paid from the thief. He goes and collects that principal from the thief who sold it to him. So too, let's say the second guy sold to a third guy, and the third guy to a fourth guy. Even if there's 100 people in this chain, the way it goes is, the original owner takes from every single one of those middlemen the amount that they made profit, and takes the principal from the thief. Now all these things that we mentioned, that the last buyer has to give back the stolen object itself, is specifically for the Bnei Yish. It was all before the owner gave a pope. Commissioner, like explained, Halacha Beis, but if he had given the pope, then he wouldn't have to give it back at all. They would have to give back the monies, again, depending if it's a well-known ganav or not, but he wouldn't have to give back the object. Halacha continues regarding when there is a suspicion that there's a rumor that there was a theft in the city. So Bala Bais, regarding a homeowner, Shein Osa Limkar's Kev, that he doesn't usually sell his vessels. He's not a merchant. And moreover, the word gets out in the city that there was a theft by his house. Now, the Hikar Caleb Asvar Biyarachim, now they recognize his vessels or his books by other people. Now, they're claiming that they bought this from someone, but they recognize that this is that guy's stuff. Or even if, let's say, he was a seller, he would sell things. But these vessels specifically that were recognized by these other people, are Mikiyam Asun Lahashal Haskar, are from vessels that he generally lends out or rents, and he doesn't sell them. Sambo Edim Shazay Kilb Shazay, so witnesses come along and testify, well, these are the vessels of that original guy. So Yeshav Azeh. So Shehim Biyaday. So the ones that the vessels are by right now, he swears, but Nikit Tizchev is beholding a holy object, but Kamalak, how much did he pay for it? It's not his fault, this is a Kansa Shuk. Vitam Balabais, and he could collect that amount from the homeowner. But yeah, so like Caleb, and then he gets his vessels back. Because although he has to give it back, because we definitely assume that there was a theft over here, but he doesn't have to lose out his money, and he gets his money back. He just has to give the object back. Now, look at Alf. Let's say he was a homeowner that generally would sell his vessels. And these stuff, these items that are by other people, are not from the things he generally lends out or rents. So, even if, let's say, word gets out that there was a theft in the city by him, and his vessels are recognized by other people, You don't take it back from the ones who bought. Maybe he sold them to other people. Maybe these are not necessarily the ones that were stolen from him. Now, but let's say when it gets very, very glaring. Let's say there were people that came and they spent the night in his house. In the middle of the night, he gets up, he starts screaming, "Nignivu kelei usvarai, my vessels, my books were stolen." And people come running and they find that there's a cave that's dug beneath his house. And the people who spent the night in his house, they're going out, and they have bags of vessels on over their shoulders. And everyone's saying, those are the vessels and the books of that person. In this situation, the person is believed to say that these are the vessels that were stolen from me. So the guy who has the vessels innocently bought it in the flea market. He has this guy's vessels, and he swears when the kids are holding holy object, how much did he spend for it? And he collects that amount from the one that was stolen from, but then he gives it back to the original owner. Lochid Beis talks about regarding, however, a thief that was well known and presumed to be a thief. So Gandhi Shahuzak bin Isparsim, of a well known and established thief, that goes into his friend's house. The Idm Idm Shiyatza, and then witnesses testify as follows, that he went out, the Kalim Timunim Litachas Kanaf, he had some vessels that were hidden beneath his garment. Now they couldn't see the vessels, couldn't clearly see because it's beneath his jacket. So Af Bishayshan Balabai said, even though the homeowner was there when the thief entered, which that's a mitigating factor, which that would seem to diminish the suspicion for theft. But Vatoin, and moreover, the thief is claiming, and he says, whatever I have, I were bought by me. The homeowner says, no, gunum him, they were stolen. So if it was a homeowner, Shane Darkalim Kiskel, that he generally doesn't sell the stuff. But and moreover, those vessels that we subsequently found out, in Derek when they had not been, people don't usually hide them under their jacket. They're not such discreet things. And the third factor is that generally that person who is presumed to be a thief generally does not hide his vessel. He's not such a shameful person that he hides beneath his jacket. With all those factors, are the balabai's nemon, so the homeowner is going to be believed because the one who entered is well known to be a thief. And we have these three conditions which seem to be indicators that this homeowner doesn't usually sell his stuff. This guy hid these vessels which are not usually hidden. And third of all, he himself doesn't usually hide stuff. So therefore, the homeowner is believed, and therefore, the yishavab and the kid's chibes, he swears by holding a holy object that he claims that he didn't sell the vessels, and therefore, v'netil keil, then he can take his vessels. But the einod mezem mukhzab kinim. But if this person who walked out with stuff beneath the jacket is not presumed to be a thief, then ein balabai's nemen. With all those factors, still the homeowner is not believed. Ela nishbezeh shakim biyodish was hesus shakim el lekucha miyodish. Rather, this guy could swear that the vessels that he has, with a rabbinic oath, that these are the vessels that he bought, that are by him, and they could go, because we don't presume people to be thieves, even with all these other variables and factors.